All right. Bow. It means go. It also can mean come, but it does mean go. And within the portion today, we have a continuation of the Passover story, right? We not only have a continuation of the Passover story, we have instructions. Instructions on how to do the Passover. Not only do we have instructions for the Passover, we have reasons for the Passover. Reason for the initial act and reasons why we're to remember it each and every year. And they're really kind of similar to each other. Now, as I go forward, I want to also say that regarding the Passover, I want to remind you, that I can't read my own handwriting. Yeah. Because it also is a big part of it. Okay. So I'm going to say this, that there's also not just reasons, but there's another big part in today's message. Passover is described and explained in the Torah portion this week, but not just as Jewish feasts, but as the Feast of Adonai and all who join with him. We see this in a few places, but let me point out Leviticus 23, that whole chapter where not just Passover is described, but all of the Lord's feasts are described and laid out for us. And regarding all of these appointed feasts, including Shabbat, this is what it says about them, Leviticus 23, verses 1 and 2. Then Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, speak to B'nai Israel and say to them, these are the appointed Moedim of Adonai, which you are to proclaim to be a holy convocations, my Moedim, my feasts, my holy days. There is nowhere in Scripture that you'll see the feasts, including Passover, as a feast of the Jewish people. They are all feasts of Adonai's, and they are all for his people, his creation, both Jew and Gentile. And when I say both Jew and Gentile, that really includes everybody. Jewish people are those who come through the Jewish bloodlines, the 12 tribes. Gentiles is a word that means everybody else. Regardless of what title the world may put on them, maybe the world calls them pagans or Hindus or Muslims or agnostics, it doesn't matter. If they're not Jewish, they're Gentile. And that is not to say they're a second-class citizen. They are equal in Adonai's eyes, just with a second, with a different job. That's the only reason for using the titles Jew and Gentile, is to indicate the job that they're supposed to have. Not to say one is better than the other, just different. So we read the first few verses of Bo today's, which is today's portion from Exodus chapter 10. And we see in it the whys. I want you to pay special attention as I read Exodus 10, 1 and 2 to the word so. Because every time the word so is used, it indicates another why. So let's read why Passover. Then Adonai said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, because I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, so that I might show my signs in their midst. And so you may tell your sons and your grandchildren what I have done in Egypt, as well as my signs that I did among them, so you may know that I am Adonai. So we actually see three reasons in these two verses that are set apart by the word so. Each are considered a reason for Passover, but the first two really are building up to the third one. Not that anything's small in Adonai's eyes, but these first two reasons, in my opinion, are not as great as the third reason, the greatest reason. We're told that Pharaoh's heart will be hardened so that Adonai can show his signs. Adonai wants to be seen as the Lord. But that is not the ultimate reason for us. Then we're told that we should tell our children and grandchildren what happened in Egypt, so they will know. But that's also not really the ultimate reason. Now we get to the ultimate reason. Passover shows what Adonai can do so that the Israelites would get to know who Adonai is and what he was to them. Adonai was speaking to Moses in these verses, absolutely. But not just to him, but also to all people who were there in Egypt and who saw the plague and the wonders that Adonai did to bring them out. But we also have to keep in mind that in Judaism, it was not just them that was there. But when we read through the Passover Haggadah, it says that we all were there. Therefore, what we are being told is that the Passover was so you may know Adonai. Although all of Israel should have recognized that Adonai is Lord after the Passover events, they didn't all really recognize, or at least it didn't all stick to each one of them, every single one of them, due to the hardships that Pharaoh placed upon them. Since they did not understand that he's Lord of all, do we then say that Adonai's word is not true here? Never. We look for ways to understand that his words are true. And I think in this case, it's by applying it in a timeless way. The reason for Adonai's hardened heart is so that we all will see and know. Not just that we, not just all who were there, but for everyone for all time, including us. What were they to know? They should know about Adonai and to know him as Lord of all. The reason for Pharaoh's hardened heart is so that all will see and know, not just all who were there, but for all time. The world, both Jew and Gentile, are to see Adonai. How should the world see and know? By looking into Torah, his word, which gives instructions to all and points to salvation through the blood which was fulfilled in the Brit Hadashah, which never replaces the Tanakh, never replaces Torah. The Torah, I believe, was not meant to be exclusive to the Jews. Only based on the verses of Exodus 12, or not only based on the verses of Exodus 12, but here's one spot. When speaking of those who came out of Egypt, it says this in Exodus 12, starting in verse 48. But if an outsider dwells with you, who would keep the Passover for Adonai, all his males must be circumcised. Let him draw near and keep it. He will be like one who is native to the land, but no uncircumcised person may eat from it. The same Torah applies to the native as well as the outsider who dwells among you. We see that the Passover was not really meant just for the Israelites, just for the Jewish people, but that a provision in the instructions was made for anyone who wanted to follow Adonai, so that they could partake. In fact, It does not just address the outsider regarding Passover only, but it says the same Torah applies to the native as well as the outsider. Not just the Passover, but all of Torah is to be the same Torah for all. The Hebrew word for Torah in verse 49 is, and this may surprise you, Torah. I know, it's a shock. And Torah means instruction, law, or direction to the outsider and the native-born Israelite. The word seems clear to me about Torah being for all. And we know that God's word does not change. We see it throughout Tanakh, at least in these two places I want to come up with, I want to show you today. Malachi 3:6. Most of you know it. For I am Adonai, I do not change. So you, children of Jacob, are not consumed. He does not change, so we are not consumed. Isn't really quite important. Because if he changed, if Adonai changes tomorrow, then it's quite possible everyone's going to be consumed if he changed his way. But because he never changes, we can be assured of our salvation for all time through him, by his ways, which never change. Isaiah 40, starting in verse 6, a voice is saying, cry out. So I said, what shall I cry out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, for the breath of Adonai blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. I couldn't tell you right now whether off the top of my head, whether the grass is Israel and the flowers are the Gentiles, or the other way around. But we know his word stands forever. Therefore, the new covenant does not cancel out the old covenant. So both must exist in the same space and at the same time. This also means the same Torah is for all. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, says that all scripture is to be learned from when he wrote to his disciple Timothy. He wrote in 2 Timothy 3:14, another one that a lot of people know, you, however, continue in what you have learned and what you have become convinced of. For you know from whom you have learned, and from that from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to make you wise, leading to salvation through trusting in Messiah Yeshua. Here's the verse everyone knows. All scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for restoration, for training in righteousness, so that the person belonging to God may be capable, fully equipped for every good deed. It says all scripture is inspired. And maybe more important, it says that they learned of Adonai and Yeshua from the sacred writings. So what are the sacred writings that he's talking about at that time? It has to be the Tanakh, because the Brit Hadashah was not put to paper yet. They weren't written yet. And who was it that it was written to? And who was it that it was spoken to? Well, Paul is writing to Timothy, who is in Ephesus. Timothy was left behind to teach the Ephesians what he knew. And what he knew was Torah. That which was meant to be their instructions on how to live and recognize Adonai and Yeshua to everybody. When Adonai gave the instructions for Passover, there is nowhere that he said, but don't tell the Gentiles. Because if they hear and do, they'll also be saved. Don't tell them. It's nowhere in Scripture that it says that. In fact, during the Passover, for those who were not Israel, if they put blood on their doorposts, they too were saved from that tenth plague. Even if they didn't know Torah, even if they didn't follow Torah, they would still be saved by following those instructions. But they are instructed and expected to live out as they traveled with Israel, becoming engrafted with them by becoming more like them, by following Adonai's instruction, directions, Torah. Gentiles will not become Jewish. That never happens. But they will take on aspects of Jewish life and culture, becoming engrafted. A Jewish person will never become a Gentile, but will have salvation the same way through the blood of Messiah, who is Yeshua. There are many times in Scripture that Adonai says, now they will see and know. Even in the places that we read words such as these, it appears that over and over, they did not learn at that time. Then who is they that they should see and know? I believe it's you and me. That all who hear to believe in Adonai and his power and his authority and Yeshua and his power and authority, because he's the same as Adonai. In Scripture, there are multiple times Adonai says that they will see and know, or words like this. For example, Adonai says, now they will see and know is found in Isaiah 41. He speaks towards Israel saying, they're poor now, but not always will they be poor and weak. Isaiah 41:17 says, the poor and needy ask for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. I, Adonai, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare hills and springs in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land into fountains of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedars and the acacia tree and the myrtle and the olive tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine together with the box tree, so they may see and know, consider and understand together that the hand of Adonai has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. Adonai says, so they may see and know, which could sound like it's just for Israel that they'll see and know, but there's a hint that it's more than just Israel. He says that the acacia tree, the myrtle and the olive tree, along with the cypress, pine, and box trees, will also be planted, and that they all will see and know. Consider and understand together that the hand of Adonai can and will do for them. But they did not know after. But did they know after seeing? Perhaps he was not talking about who we think he was talking about. The people of just that time frame. Consider that if he. Consider what he did back then and is doing it now for you as well. It was so that you would see by his word and know his power and authority. We know all Scripture is true, right? We know it. Therefore, if we think it was just for the people of that time, perhaps we're actually being mistaken. I'm sure some came to understand who Adonai is during that time in history that's being spoken about, but not all of them did. So Scripture says, all will see and hear. And for the Scripture to be true, then really all who open themselves up to the Ruach, including you and me, are the ones who will see and know. as well as anyone who comes to know him today and in the future. I often say that Scripture is a book. The Scripture as a book is really a love letter and an instruction book to you personally. All Scripture is a personal love letter and instruction manual written to you. You personally. When you read the cover, it may say Holy Scripture, but it could just as easily say a book for and insert your name. A book for David. A book for Leanne. A book for Larry. If we accept that Scripture is a personal letter for each of us, then it's not a stretch to believe that all that is done within it is so that we would see and know. And also remember. We are to remember that we are to remember what Adonai has done for each of us. We read Deuteronomy where Moses wrote the following for the people of Israel, Deuteronomy 4:9. The day that you stood before Adonai, your God in Horeb, Adonai said to me, gather the people to me, and I will make them hear my words so that they learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, so that they teach their children. You came near and stood at the bottom of the mountain while the mountain was blazing with fire up to the heart of heavens, darkness, cloud, and fog. Adonai spoke to you from the midst of the fire, the sound of words you heard, but a form you did not see, only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, which he commanded to you, the 10 words, and he wrote them on 2 stone tablets. The 10 words, of course, the 10 commandments. Adonai did it for you. And did not regard you as a Jew or Gentile. It didn't matter. He did it for you. His creation. His love. He came through a Jewish man, Moses, but it was for all who came out of Egypt and was saved from the plagues. And the final one, which was the death of the firstborn. Moses says, you heard the voice, but there was only 2 who lived through the Exodus. And that were still alive then, Joshua and Nun. The 2 spies who did not give a bad report after spying out that promised land. He saved multitudes then through the Torah, and he's saving multitudes now through the same Torah, through the same directions, through the same instructions, not by works, but by grace, done by the shedding of the blood of Messiah. Another example that shows that Adonai was speaking to more than just the contemporaries of the prophet is found in Ezekiel 11. Starting in Ezekiel 11:5, and then I'm going to skip to 9 and 10. Then the Ruach Adonai fell on me and said to me, Thus Adonai says, you are thinking, house of Israel, for I know the thoughts that come into your mind. I will bring you out of the midst of it, give you into the hands of strangers, and execute judgment against you. You will fall by the sword. I will judge you at the border of Israel. So you will know that I am Adonai. There's that word so again. So you will know. Another reason. Adonai says through the prophet Ezekiel, that the words were to the house of Israel, and then they will know that he is Adonai. But did they actually learn at that time? Well, we know from history of Israel, especially the northern kingdoms, that they did not come to know Adonai. They did not get to know him as the one and only true King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and God. In fact, it seems that few did. So if Scripture is to be believed as infallible, then how could that be? Perhaps we've placed the time constraints that Adonai did not mean to have placed upon these scriptures. We are Israel because we believe his words. And we have come to know, but even more, at the time that Yeshua comes a second time, all of Israel and all the world will know that he is Adonai. Amen. And it's not just in the Tanakh that we see the same issue. Saul writes this in the letter to the Philippians. Philippians, he wrote this in Philippians 2, starting in verse 8. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even to the death on the stake. For the reason God highly exalted him and gave him the name above, that is above every name. That is the name of Yeshua. Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue profess that Yeshua the Messiah is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Of course, this is said about Yeshua, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Yeshua is the Messiah of all. We look around the world and we know this hasn't happened yet. But do we throw out these verses because they haven't happened yet? And the answer, of course, is no. Then should we place the same unequal yoke on the Tanakh and throw out verses because we don't believe those have been fulfilled completely at that time? Time is in the hand of Adonai, and he does not view it and is not constrained in the same way that we are. His words are true, and if we think that they're wrong, then we need to check our own spirits and know that his word never fails. Consider Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man who lies, or a son of man who changes his mind. Does he speak and then not do, or promise and not fulfill it? The word is always true, and they will come to pass, regardless of what we think the right timing is. And yet his timing is always, always perfect. We should not look to limit his power, his authority, his timing, or his Torah, because we think either something superseded it or it no longer applies to us. His word is eternal, and therefore we must accept what it says, whether it comes from the Tanakh or whether it comes from the Brit Hadashah. It's always true. If we don't understand it, it's not because it's not true, it's because we don't understand it. If we look at it and say, but it didn't happen, it's most likely because we're looking at it with time constraints that he never actually meant to put on them. So when he says, all will see and all will know, don't just put a time constraint on them. They will see and they will know. Don't just put a time constraint. We will see and we will know. It's all will see. The past, the present, and the future. All will see and all will know. His word is perfect and true, and I accept it just for what it says. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is eternal. Your word is eternal just as you are eternal. Your word is true just as you are true. Your word is for the Jew and the Gentile just as you are for the Jew and the Gentile. Your salvation was the same then as it is now through the blood. It was blood in Leviticus. It's blood now. It was blood of a sacrifice. It's a blood of the sacrifice now. That sacrifice is Messiah Yeshua, who hung on the stake, who shed his blood, who paid the price for our sin, paid for our atonement. Thank you, Yeshua, that you did this for us. And you did it willingly, voluntarily, wanting to suffer for us so that we didn't have to, knowing that you to take what we could not take. That we would not survive the way you did. We cannot live on the way that you did unless your blood was considered for our atonement. So we thank you for it. We thank you for the word that is eternal. We thank you for the word that is for Jew and Gentile. There are no two books, one for one and one for the other. There are, as your word says, there will be one new man. That one new man will be when you return. But for now, it's the one true God who is for all. And we praise you and honor you through it all. And everyone says, amen, amen and amen.